face to face, passing the faith love test. Amen. Told you when we started this series that we would be looking at different aspects of Abraham's life. Abraham, a man of God, called by God, sent by God to carry out God's purpose. We've went over this for the last 4 weeks, and we've said that the faith love test is going to come at some point in all of our lives where we will be asked to release the very thing that God blessed us with. I thought about this morning. I said, no, I'm not going to panic. I said, I have not really reminded the people of God about what this Sunday really is, because we've been wrapped up in other things, trying to make good decisions as a church. But I thought about, man, I said, man, but we started this way in January. We've been talking about first fruits. We've been talking about that test of releasing something to God that he blessed us with. First fruit simply means that you are giving God your best. What God was asking Abraham for was his best. It wasn't his last, but it was his best. Come on, help me, somebody. Abraham had other children, but this child would be the child of promise. And what God was asking Abraham to do was to take something that is of value. Something that you figure at times you say, man, I've already given God. I've already sacrificed God. I've already done my best, God. And then God says to you, hey, there's something that you have that I want. As a matter of fact, that something that you have is not really because I need it. It's because it's a what? Test. Tell your neighbor, it's a faith love test. You see, I understand what sacrifice is all about. And the thing about it, the very thing that you waited for, and when you get it, it's sometimes it's hard to believe that God wants you to release it. So you fight the thoughts in your mind. No, it can't be First Fruit Sunday. No, this can't be. Maybe it'll be next Sunday. You know, or whatever the case may be. God, you know, God puts on your heart. You see somebody hungry, and you make God put on your heart to give them something, and you're like, well, hold on, God, I got my last 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Imagine that, 2 fish. Imagine this, right, that God is asking this young boy, amen, or this person to give up their last. The woman with the oil. Come on, somebody. She had her last. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take it, and I want you to give it to the man of God. Come on and help me, somebody. Tell your neighbor, that's a faith, love, test. And so this faith love test thing is not really foreign to the Bible. It is not something that's strange. It's not something that God has just popped up on us. It started with Abraham, and it continues now with you and I. Can I help you? Can I ask a question today? How many want to take your life to the next level? You say, what level is that? Let me explain to you what level I'm talking about. the level of life spiritually where you can stay under the control of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Listen, you can practice what you've been talking. You can pray and see something happen. That's the level I'm talking about. Because everything in the natural is affected by the non-seen, the spirit world. Told you last week that if you're going to pass this test, you have to walk with expectations. You have to watch with spiritual anticipation. You have to watch who you walk with, because some people can just drain you. Come on, help me. You have to worship with a believing heart. You have to, what God says in His Word, you have to believe it. Don't second guess what God says in His Word. Listen, you can second guess me, but don't second guess His Word. And if I'm speaking His Word, then you ought not to second guess what I'm saying. Because from the mouth of the man of God should come the Word of God. How many believe that? The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. I had a moment this morning where in my mind I started to say to myself, why am I thinking like this? I took the thought captive. I stood on 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and I said to myself, no, it's crazy how you're just going about your business. Anybody, come on, testify with me, okay? You wake up in the morning, you're doing good. Everything is good. You're starting out your day. And then all of a sudden, especially on Sunday mornings, right, you start thinking negative. Your mind start going places. You're like, wait a minute. I just got out of the prayer closet. I just was praising God. And then all of a sudden, your mind is not the things you say. It's the thoughts that we have. Do I have anybody? And what we'll find in this passage, we'll find that you have to realize that you and I have to realize until we take every thought captive. In other words, don't allow thoughts to have free reign in your mind. Do I have anybody? I'm about to start a new series after this called Habits. I'm talking about good habits, bad habits. Amen. And how to break some of those bad habits but build new habits. Amen. But that moment in time, that moment that I had this morning was about like this, and I start relating it to my message to say, man, it's amazing how you can look at life and not have a word, not say a word, but the enemy. Oh, come on, help me, somebody. Can I help you with something? Some of the things we are blaming people for and some of the things we're blaming Satan for, we have to take responsibility for it ourselves. So in our passage today, we find that Abraham has set out to take his son now to offer him up as the burnt sacrifice. And I'm bringing this to your attention because imagine mentally what he's going through. Imagine emotionally God is telling him, I want you to not just give away your son, but I want you to sacrifice him. Told you last week that in the book of Hebrews, it gave us what he was thinking, didn't I? I told you that he believed that if God gave him Isaac, that God was able to resurrect Isaac from the dead. See, here's a point for you real quick. Listen to this real good. Listen to this real good, okay? God's word will always come to pass if you believe it. You have to believe it. Stop believing little cliches and things that people say and stand on the word. God, if you can resurrect the dead, if you could raise Jesus from the dead, then my situation right now can get better. According to Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But you got to go to verse 32 where he says, my heavenly Father knows what I need. What am I saying? I'm saying that when you stand on the word, I'm not talking about nice stuff. I'm talking about the word. The word of God as we see it every week. So Abraham did not go with his feelings or his emotions, but what he focused on is that if God says it, I believe it. Watch this now. This is what happens when I get some rest. If God says it, I believe it. Watch this. And I'm going to act on it. And when you act on the revealed word, come on, help me somebody, you will see results in your life. Abraham is going to pass this test. Can I ask you a question? How you doing with your test? Amen. That's a good question, isn't it? Now look what he says. He says, now Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. Now remember, in prior verses, he chopped the wood. He prepared the wood. Preparation, right? But now he says, and he laid it on Isaac, his son. In other words, he's taken him up to the mountain, but he laid the wood on him. In other words, he put the pressure on him. He laid the very wood that he would light him up on. Come on, help me somebody. You know, the Bible says that we got to carry our own. Oh, come on somebody. They laid the stripes on Jesus. Come on, help me somebody. They beat him. He carried our wood. He carried that cross up Golgotha. Do I have anybody? This is the picture of Jesus. The Father had to lay the wood on him to take him up for redemption for us. And so here Isaac is carrying his own load. Look at the text. And he took his hand, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so what I'm saying to you, sometimes in the most difficult days of your life in passing this test, the first thing you have to do is you have to put your complete trust in God. Tell your neighbor, you got to put your complete trust. I'm not saying a little bit. I'm talking about your complete trust. See, today I'm going to put my complete trust in God. I said my complete trust. I'm not talking about half trust, and I ain't talking about faith. I'm talking about trust. Here's the reason why I can trust God, because he's never failed me. Over 20-something years I've been saved, and God has never failed me. Have I had some rough days? Yeah. Have I had some good days? You better believe it. Have I had some exciting days? Yes, I have. But here's the thing. I want you to know that trusting God has nothing to do with what he does for you. Trusting God has to do with what he says to you. And what he says in his word is what you believe. And what you believe, you will live out. Do I have anybody? They had the wood. They had the fire. And they had the knife. Come on, help me somebody. It's amazing that everything is ready. And trusting God is the only way to pass this test. Do I have anybody? The text goes on to say, so the two of them, what did they do? They walked together. Now, this word walk in the Hebrew, it carries the idea of something united. Something that has something to do in common with each other. It also means movement. Hallelujah to his holy name. See, when you're trusting God in the faith love test, you have to understand that you cannot, and you got to believe that you're not alone in this. But whoever you walk with, See, Abraham was walking with the right person. And here's the thing, they were united in purpose. One person did not know what was going on, but the other did. But in spite of the son in his innocence, trusted the father. Ooh, Lord have mercy. I see Jesus. And here's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes you're wondering, I wonder why Pastor asked me to do this. Or I wonder why he's asking to do that. You got to trust me that God, come on somebody, has already revealed to me what needs to be done. All you got to do is put your trust in Jesus. And if you put your trust in Jesus, you will find out you don't need all the information. See, trusting and walking by faith means you're trusting the one who promised. He said, Daddy, now hold on now. We're going to get there in a minute. But the second thing you got to do is this. You have to press on no matter how. You know why some of us are iffy with church? Because we operate on feelings. Remember what I said earlier? You wake up in the morning, you're ready to go, and then your mind starts twirling. The devil starts telling you stuff or suggesting stuff. God says that God never said in his word. And can I tell you something? You got to match what you're hearing in your mind against the word of God. And here's the thing. If it does not match, then you know where it's coming from. Satan is the author of lies. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I just said something. If it does not match with the word of God, you shouldn't even pay it no mind. And so you got to press on no matter how you feel. Faith is not based on feelings. It's believing the one who promised no matter what it may look like. Can I ask you a question? Has God ever asked you to do something so hard that you had second thoughts? Come on, help me, somebody. That's how you know it's God. It's going to be something that hurts. But imagine Isaac, right? Press on. Tell your neighbor, press on. No matter how you feel. Feelings are crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't feel good. But God said if you were to change your thinking, you'll feel better. You know, sometimes we project things that are not real. Are you with me? Oh, I'm finna lose this. You ain't lost nothing yet. You've been talking about losing stuff your whole life. But you have not lost anything. Come on and help me, somebody. Watch this. Isaac spoke, verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He says, here I am, my son. You know, you look at this conversation, you're like, man, this is a parental moment right here. This is, you know, for Abraham to be, you ever got a surprise whooping when you were little? Who said yes that loud? I'm talking about a surprise whooping. Like you thought everything was good. Yeah, your parents ever make you feel like that? Like everything was just good. Like, oh yeah, what you want to eat? Come on, I'll fix your food for you. I mean, everything is good. And all of a sudden, that surprise whooping. You know what I'm saying? And what it leaves you, give me the next point. It leaves you puzzled or perplexed. But tell your neighbor, pay attention. Because when you thought you didn't deserve it, it's because you thought you got away with it. And what we thought, and watch this, in humanity, that we got away with it. But Jesus said, your sins are ever before me. I love what David said. David said, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is wrong in your sight. And watch this. And so don't ever think in your mind, in our mind, that somehow we don't deserve what God has allowed. And I thank God that even when he disciplines his children, he does it with grace. He doesn't do it to destroy the relationship. He does it to develop you in the relationship. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Isaac said, he says, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. You had the younger boy puzzled. You had the older man perplexed. But tell your neighbor they pressed on anyhow. Isaac is paying attention. Watch this. He knows something is up. He was weaned as a believer. And he knew. Can I ask you a question? This is something I want to show you right here. Watch this. And that goes to my next point. You got to be careful. That's why I opened up the way I did earlier in my announcements. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful of the entertainment preachers who are telling you what thus says the Lord, but it has nothing to do with the Word of God. Because you're going to miss something. People leave churches because they feel, oh, I don't feel no more. You know, I ain't getting what, because it's more entertaining over here. They got a band. They got music. They got the little small groups, and they got this going on. They got that going on. But here's the thing: what you're missing. What you're missing is this. What don't you see that you're supposed to see that you're ignoring because you're running on emotion? And everybody that says, oh, the Greek word is, or the Hebrew word is, don't fall for that. Because here's what I'm saying to you. Character trumps everything. The way you live, saints, the way you live matters. And I say to every pastor and minister in our school, I say to them, when you stand before this sacred desk, make sure that you're feeding the people what thus says the Lord and not what thus says you. Are you following me? Now, Isaac, listen. You know what? Write this down. There was no partial obedience with Abraham, even though he didn't understand it. Oh, Lord, deliver me from trying to understand it, Lord. Deliver me, God, from trying to understand everything with your analytical self. Come on. It's got to make sense. It's got to match. Everything got to be right before I make a move. Can I tell you something? Everything don't have to be right. It, matter of fact, if it's right, it's wrong. Because God wants you to exercise us, to exercise what? Our faith. Watch this. Watch what he says. He says, I see the fire, see the wood, but some key is missing. This is a gospel without Jesus. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. I just saw it. This is a gospel without Jesus. You could have fire in the worship. Ooh. You could have wood. You could have lights. You could have cameras. You could have a trampoline where you could do a backflip. But if you don't have the Lamb, if you don't have the Lamb, I'm talking about the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. And somebody already thought in their mind on Resurrection Sunday, 6 a.m. is real early to get up and come to church. But I stopped by to tell you, when Jesus saved my soul, there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. And to sacrifice a few hours to come in his presence to celebrate on a Resurrection Sunday morning for what he's done for me is not hard for me. Do I have anybody? I want to help somebody with something. Stop going to places where you got wood, where you got fire, but you don't have the Lamb of God. Stop going to places. Stop listening to preachers who got fire, who got wood, who got charisma, but they don't have the Lamb of God. See, that's what's missing today. And I stopped by to tell you, the last thing you need is pay attention to what's missing from worship. If something is missing, and if the main thing is missing, then guess what? You've been bamboozled. You've been hoodwinked. You've been tricked. You've been fooled. And you ain't gonna pass this test. People are running from place to place trying to find some answers. Listen, you don't need a prophet to tell you nothing. Oh, I wish I had somebody. They got a whole lot of fire. Benny Hinn said, I shouldn't have said that. About a year ago, 2 years ago, he said, I repent of telling people to give money. How much to give? 2 years later, in his same church, if you don't give $1,000, that means your faith is not there. How is it 2 years earlier you said you repent? 2 years earlier, and then 2 years later, you're saying what you said you repented of. Tell your neighbor there's fire, there's wood, but there's no lamb. There's fire, there's wood, but there's no lamb. You do know who the lamb is, huh? Jesus, Mary's baby, born in a manger. Didn't have no room for him, by the way. Come on and help me, somebody. Came down 42 generations to save a wretch like me. Do I have anybody here this morning who know who I'm talking about? But let me ask you a question. Do you have the real lamb? The lamb that hung on a cross, gave his life for you and I, so that you and I can have eternal life. Oh, I'm so glad today that I got the real lamb. I'm so glad that I know when I walk into a church, I can see clearly what's missing. They got fire, they got wood, but they don't have the lamb. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is he all right? Is he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. On a Sunday morning. Is he all right? Say yeah. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. They dropped him low. Put him in a barred tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. With all power. I wish I could have another week off. Every Sunday will be like this Sunday. I'm so glad that Jesus rose from the dead to save a wretch like me. Aren't you glad today? We got wood, we got fire, and we got the Lamb. Without the Lamb, anything that's preached, fire the Holy Spirit. Word, wood is the word. But having those two without Jesus, you have nothing but words. That's it. That's all it is, words. so much preaching going on with no Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I mean, think about it. Your life is built on what Jesus did on Calvary. We got this week, we're preparing for Holy Week. We're preparing for Holy Week. Every time around this year, I get that feeling about how grateful I am. He was the first fruit, y'all. He was. Jesus gave him up as the first. That was God's best. Today, when you prepare your heart to sow into first fruits, I want you to say, God, this is my best. It's not my last, it's my best. And I want you to say to yourself, self, this is a faith, love, test.